You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome in. And we cannot be more excited about what is in store over these next 4 hours. We may need more than that. We thank you for being a part of the program. And man, do we have a lot to get to today. Your phone calls are coming. Many guests as well. Why don't we start with some headlines from the weekend? And what a weekend it was. And what a weekend it was to be a Mississippi State fan. KJ Kylan and the Pirate, how the air raid stormed back into the SEC. It was pretty fantastic. What an afternoon in Baton Rouge.
And he's got a quarterback that he kind of brought with him from the Pac-12. You've seen him in a Stanford uniform. Now you see him in the burgundy of Mississippi State. KJ Costello. Costello looks black. Lobs it to the corner. Down 500 yards passing. Costello going to go long to the corner of the end zone. Touchdown.
Three touchdowns against LSU's defense on third and long.
His debut in the SEC, nothing short of brilliant. 623 yards and five touchdowns. The Pirate and the air raid offense of Mississippi State has come to the SEC.
And did you know that LSU, well, you're about to, is the first defending national champ to lose its opener since Michigan? I said Michigan. I'm more surprised they won a national championship than they lost their opener. That was in 1998, and it was a half, wasn't it? Or was it? The Wolverines lost their first two games that season, but bounced back. Will LSU? And that is the question. This is Monday, so there will be some reaction and there will be some overreaction. I guarantee you we will see the latter. Anyway, let's move on because that's not the only game to talk about. We had seven in all and every one had some interest. Alabama, Florida, this is according to John Talty of AL.com, looked to be a notch above the rest. You got a couple of quarterbacks, one from Alabama, one from Florida. They know how to win Heismans at both places. And the bottom line is this. Kyle Trask was unbelievable with six touchdowns. Mac Jones was good as well. Competition may be a little better for Trask. But meanwhile, Nick Saban felt, well, how did you feel about Mac Jones?
You know, Mac is pretty instinctive. He doesn't look down at the rush. He keeps his eyes down the field. He has a good feel on the pocket of how to move and create, you know, lanes for himself to throw the ball in and also avoid the rush. He keeps two hands on the ball in the pocket, which is really important. I think he's got a really good grasp of the offense, so he has a really good expectation of where people are going to be. And I think he only made maybe one bad read in the game or one misread, I would say, and the rest of the time he was pretty much on point.
Remember when Georgia, like a couple of days ago, had too many quarterbacks to deal with, especially with JT Daniels coming in, and he will play Saturday, by the way. But they did not have an easy time of it on Saturday in Fayetteville. Kirby's relieved after the halftime, but should he be concerned?
JT will be cleared, but I don't know how much that changes the picture in terms of reps and development. We'll be looking at everybody across the board. JT's got to be able to show us that he can function efficiently and do it with his knee being able to do it. We always thought he would be cleared by this time anyway, but those guys will all compete, as well as Carson will too, and continue to grow at the quarterback position.
And did anyone look worse than A&M in victory? 31-point favorites? Didn't have 31, did it? What a bizarre evening in College Station. Aggies get the win Can they recover in time for the trip to Tuscaloosa is the question. So that is where we are. We can't wait to get into it, and we will start with Mr. College Football right there. Nobody better on a Monday afternoon for reaction. Andy Staples was in Auburn. He'll talk about the Tigers as well as the Gators. And John Talty pretty well talking about everything. Let's get some reaction. Let's go to Louisiana. How about that? Augie is first up.
Paul, we're not going to repeat a national champions, Paul. Did you ever see such a horrible, horrible-looking LSU team in your life, Paul, ever?
Oh, I've seen some horrible-looking LSU teams, but never one that was expected to be that good.
Well, I do take that back. There were some really bad years there when Gary DiNardo was there, but it looked like a Gary DiNardo team, and it also looked to me like those guys showed up on campus a week ago right out of high school, and Ogeron said, look, just go play your positions and do the best you can, because they were absolutely – that secondary was terrible. But, Paul, the biggest question of all, it's his time. He's waited his turn. It's his turn now. How do you assess the performance of Miles Brennan?
I love breakfast at Brennan's in New Orleans, I was underwhelmed. I mean, I thought there were some good moments, but he did not look like a national championship quarterback to me.
The guy looked like he was in total shock. He held on to the ball too long. He just does not look like he's ready to take over any SEC offense, much less LSU's.
But can I tell you about his high school stats?
You know, everybody keeps talking about this guy went to St. Stanislaus High School, which is not even a public school in Mississippi. He set all these records. And, I mean, if he went to South Panola and set these records, I would probably say, okay, the guy's probably pretty good. But he looked absolutely awful. And for everybody who was talking about repeating, I said at best they'd go 8-4, and that's before the SEC schedule.
Yeah, you are among the rare realistic fan, and I'll have to give it to you, Augie, because most were not. Most got the drug last year and couldn't shake it.
Well, I mean, if these guys stay with Ed Ogeron and they're not going pro, which I don't see any of them going pro, I mean, in the next 2 to 3 years, he should have a really good team if he gets a quarterback. But right now, you can tell that that team is in desperate need of an enema. And I don't know how they're going to be able to win 4 games out of this season. That's the best I can see. And I had counted Mississippi State kind of as one of those wins. But I got to tell you that I think people in Tiger Town are hanging their heads. But, Paul, what about Kentucky? I think they're one quarterback short of a decent team.
And they may have that in Gatewood, assuming he gets cleared, but we haven't heard that yet. Let's check in with Andre, who is up next. Hey, Andre.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking my call, Coach. Listen, man, I'm just going to lay it out there. The quarterback looked skittish. He looked shaky. He looked scared. He looked like a deer in the headlights. Listen, man, if you're playing at one of these little private schools, you can put up all kinds of numbers. It doesn't mean nothing. And this is Mississippi State. This not live bullet. But when he plays Alabama and Auburn, those are going to be live bullets. LSU is going to get ran out of the stadium. Now, Coach O can give him one more game. If not, hey, you got to make a quarterback change. And he got to do something about that offensive line. Thanks, Coach.
Red Dog is up next.
I tell you who stunk a big fat turd on Saturday was Alabama. Now, you won't bring that up, but Missouri's quarterback was 76% completion.
Did you watch the game, Red Dog?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And I watched – and hey, Paul, I'll tell you this. UGA started out Saturday with a safety, okay? You know what we started out?
I mean, we got a Georgia fan here attacking Alabama. I mean, how funny is that?
Funny is they just he cut me off.
Did not cut you off then, but I
you
think
did not cut me off. All I'm saying is, Paul, is you need to call Alabama out because they gave up 360 yards to a bad Missouri team.
Okay,
and it says on ESPN Alabama.
I love a Georgia fan, the one who's been bumping his gums all year after his team struggled and was looking terrible and has quarterback concerns and offensive line concerns, his monologue attacks Alabama. We will take a break. The one thing that I wasn't sure about last week, but I am sure about, it's college football season, and we hope you'll stick around.
The Paul Feinbaum Show is presented by...
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back, and great to have everyone here. We used to do this segment. Well, we always have done this segment during football season. It's called Low-Hanging Fruit. We thought we would introduce some of the main characters to the program back to you by starting with Mark Kubiak.
That's right. With the return of the SEC over the weekend, we decided to bring back one of our favorite segments, Low-Hanging Fruit. And we're going to start here with a rotten banana that fell off the tree and doesn't look good. It's like Florida State. So, Paul, low-hanging fruit. Florida State has hit rock bottom already, and it can only look up, or the worst is yet to come.
Yeah, and they fired Willie Taggart for this, of course. I'm sure he's watching interestingly. Mark, you're absolutely right. Well, let's continue with another opinion right here.
Low-hanging fruit, it's back. Not necessarily better than ever in this format, but we're happy we can bring you one of our favorite segments, obviously. And I'm going to start with the orange, which makes me think of Tennessee orange, obviously, and then makes me think of the burnt orange back in my old hometown of Austin. And I need to know, Paul, is it low-hanging fruit that the Big 12 is already out of the college football playoff?
I think that is low-hanging fruit. Tim Brando did that game and did a fantastic job, by the way. And I think the Longhorns are shaky but alive. Oklahoma, I don't want to hear about Oklahoma anymore. Move them along, please. Let's get back to the calls and see what's happening here. And, man, it's always good to hear from Daryl on a Overreaction Monday. Daryl, what's up?
On Friday, okay, I told you, I said Alabama is no doubt the favorite in the West. Who do you think the second best team will be in the West? And you said LSU, A&M. And I said, well, LSU's overrated. I said, what about Mississippi State? And you said, what about them? When is people going to learn, okay, that might lead you to the football coach, okay? He gets more out of average than any other coach I probably know. I mean, that man is a football coach. Paul, the problem at Georgia is not quarterback. Stetson Bennett came in there and looked sharp. What killed Georgia in that first half was 10 penalties. They could never get no rhythm going. But the second half, I mean, they turned it up a notch. I'm going to tell you what the problem is at Georgia. The problem at Georgia is the offensive line, okay? Georgia cannot run the football Like, they're going to need to run the football if they're going to have a very successful season. And that's where the problem is right now. It's not at the quarterback position. Stetson Bennett was a stud. We'll see about Daniels. But the problem is at the offensive line. But the defense is stout at Georgia. The defense is going to keep Georgia in a lot of football games this year. And you know what? I don't understand how Florida gave up 600 friggin' total yards to Ole Miss, okay? To friggin' Ole Miss. And they jumped Georgia. We covered our line. We won 37-10. Alabama gets outscored in the second half by Mizzou, but Alabama didn't drop. Florida jumps Georgia. I know you in bed with Dan Mullen, okay? You have been for quite some time. I know you like him, but we're touchdown favorite against Auburn. Everything is going to be fine at Georgia. It was just we just had too many. We self-destructed in that first half with too many stupid penalties. Never got no rhythm.
Well, Darrell, I agree with one thing you said. The offensive line was the issue. Other than that, we'll talk to Chris in Louisiana. Hello, Chris.
How's it going, Paul?
Great, Chris. Good afternoon.
Hey, man. With one LSU and Miles Brennan, I thought he did okay, but he could do a little bit better in the pocket. But the main issue I saw Saturday was Bo Pelini not making adjustments and keep calling, you know, bumping around man-to-man while Mississippi State was, you know, torching LSU's defense all game.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty inauspicious return for a guy that everyone was convinced, because he had been there once before, would be great. I do think losing Stingley was a big blow. Other opt-outs in the defensive backfield even earlier. But, you know, at some point you do have to adjust to the game, and he did not do it. 100% agree with you. Hey, thanks for the call. Greg, in Athens, Alabama, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. You know, Matt from Gainesville must have been watching a different game. And, you know, his wife only allows him to call so many times a year, so I would suggest not wasting your phone call.
Well, that's why I asked if you watch the Alabama game, because, I mean, if you turn the Alabama game off when most of the country did after about three quarters, it looked pretty impressive.
Yeah, they threw the bench players in there in the third quarter, and it was what it was. So I don't think Alabama has a lot to worry about other than cleaning up some penalties at the moment. But, you know, watching the LSU game, I thought I was looking at Oklahoma's defense, because they were running around with a bunch of, like, their chickens with the heads cut off. And Scott Linehan, he was supposed to be the next incarnation of Joe Brady, and he didn't seem to make many adjustments either, even though Miles did end up throwing for 280-something yards. It just didn't look like there was any flow to that offense. And when you can't run the ball and you don't have Joe Burrow back there, then you're not going to be able to.
Yeah, the only good thing for LSU, Greg, is they have a little bit of time. But, you know, you have to wonder about the psyche of a program like that, who – had become exalted by its fans, and now the reaction is going to be brutal and vicious, and that's a concern, at least from an off the field standpoint. Eddie is up next. Eddie, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Can you hear me, my man?
I sure can. Great to have you on.
Hey, roll damn tide, Paul. Hey, you have had two horrible calls from Georgia fans. That's probably one of the reasons I can't stand Georgia fans, Paul, because they actually think they are better than they are, and they're just not. You got one caller didn't even acknowledge Georgia. He went straight to Alabama. When you had Georgia only had 2 points at halftime, and he want to go to Alabama, and then you had the real dummy, say they don't have a quarterback problem. I think you guys have a quarterback problem. You got one quarterback that just got cleared today, has never played in the SEC, and then you got another quarterback that we've never heard of before. So I think you guys got a quarterback problem. Hey, Paul, it's two teams out there that think they are Bama. That's Georgia and LSU. Hey, karma, LSU. I told you guys, all right? I told you guys. You guys think you are Alabama. You guys think you can lose offense, defense coordinators, and players to the NFL and make it look easy the next year. It's only one guy can do that, Paul. That is Nick Saban, all right? Ed Ogeron. Hey, my man, you only won one championship. Like Michael Jordan said, if you want to be great, anybody can win one championship. All you got to do is look at A&M, coach. Show us what you got, all right? We've seen that defense, Paul. They needed 11 Stingley to help that defense, I saw. So before these guys even – that's why Nick Saban is so freaking great, Paul. How many offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators he's lost, Paul?
A lot.
And he lines up the next year, Paul, and goes 11-2, 11-1, 12-0. Nobody's doing that. So Georgia and LSU, you guys need to figure it out because you're not even in our ballpark. Roll damn tide, Paul.
Great to have you on. Wow. This 30 minutes of old Feinbaum show and the new Feinbaum show as well. This is the new normal, not what we were doing for 5 or 6 months. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, more of your phone calls, of course. And a man to calm everyone down. Going to sit on the porch and tell you a story about overreacting after the first weekend of the college football season. Mr. College Football is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And already everybody has been out of shape. Already fans are jumping off buildings and wondering about coordinators. So why don't we calm down? And who better to calm down than Tony Barnhart? Tony, good afternoon. And I wondered if this season would feel normal. It feels pretty normal.
Paul, it feels great. I mean, you're talking about fans calling out of the fans, calling out the officials, calling out their coaches, calling out. And Commissioner Sankey said everybody's been so nice to him leading up to this, and he says, he told me after we have one bad call, they're not going to be nice anymore. Football season is back, and not a moment too soon.
I agree with you. It had gone on. I mean, we were going through a global pandemic. We'd never seen anything like this before. But I miss the overreaction that we are getting today already. Let's start with Georgia, because we've heard a lot of Georgia fans. We heard Kirby a minute ago. It looked really bad at times. I mean, if you think about it a couple of days later, what did you see? And there is no time to worry, because Auburn's coming to town.
Well, a couple of things were going on. Number one, quarterback Juwan Mathis. Yeah, he's gone through an incredible journey. Had brain surgery last year. He looked very uncomfortable, unsure of himself. But that's to be expected. The big issue, Paul, was that Barry Odom, the new defensive coordinator, had a very good game plan to slow down the Georgia running game. And it took time for Georgia to sort of wear Arkansas out, and they eventually did that. But as another caller said, they've got some growing up to do on the offensive line, and that is job one. There's no question.
In terms of who the quarterback is going to be, I realize we don't know enough about JT Daniels yet, other than he can play, but what do you hear?
Well, obviously Coach Smart said that the JT Daniels would be cleared to play, but he's not telling anybody if he's going to play or not. Is he going to get through and do the things they need to do? I would assume that Stetson Bennett would start the game, given the way he played. He sort of calmed everybody down. Juwan Mathis deserves another chance. There were some things on the field that weren't his fault, but I would expect Stetson Bennett to start the game, all things considered.
Tony, if I had told you, let's see, 2 months ago, that Stetson Bennett would start the Auburn game, I want to get your reaction.
Oh, Paul, you got to be kidding me. Then everybody else got hurt. That's the, listen, Stetson Bennett is a great, great story. He walks on at Georgia, is great with the scout team. He ends up leaving because he wanted to play. He just wanted to play. He went to a junior college in Mississippi. Then they brought him back because they needed some help. And for him to come off the bench to lead Georgia, to get Georgia through that game, is just, it's just an incredible story. And there's a couple of stories. Jeff Sintel of the AJC on DogNation.com did a really good one. And he, if you want to know more about Stetson Bennett, that would be a really good story to read.
Okay, the overreacting is everywhere, but I'm only guessing. I haven't done this for more than a couple of years. I'm guessing LSU is going to win the day, but they lost the opener. And, Tony, we don't see this very often.
No, we don't, and we don't see somebody throw for 623 yards against the defending national champions. I would venture to say that has not happened. But, listen, that game, unless you're an LSU fan, that game was so much fun to watch. And I'm sitting there watching it, and Mike Leach seems to be going, well, as long as Bo Pelini is going to cover my guy's man coverage, guess what we're going to do? Until he changes, I'm not going to change. And 623 yards later, they've beaten LSU.
Indeed. And looking ahead, I realize LSU's schedule is pretty self-evident, but how do you recalibrate this program? Everyone thought they were at least contend. What about now?
I think they'll figure it out. Now, the question is, they'll be okay against Vanderbilt, and I think they'll be okay against Missouri at home. Feel pretty good about that. But then they got to go to the Swamp. That will be a very, very telling game. Look, Paul, LSU's got players. They've always had players. What they didn't have was a quarterback who was comfortable in his own shoes and a clear idea of what they wanted to do. LSU looked like a bunch of guys who were like good players, but they had no idea who they wanted to be or what they wanted to be. I think they'll get that figured out. But LSU is, we knew LSU was going to take a step back, and they're going to take a step back. How big a step back is what we don't know.
Well, you mentioned Florida, and not a surprise what they did, what they looked like offensively. There are some concerns on the defensive side, but yeah, overall, this looks like a legitimate contender, doesn't it?
It does. I thought Florida looked really good. Yeah, they gave up a bunch of yards. But the fact of the matter is, Kyle Trask looked like he was totally in command of what he – and he did last year. And Kyle Pitts, he's a matchup nightmare. I don't know what you do with that guy. And so Florida looks – right now, you'd have to put Florida ahead of Georgia in the SEC East, but it's early. And Paul, you talked about not overreacting. If there was ever – a year, first couple of weeks, it's good. It's this one.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Gators, we'll see everybody quickly, A&M, South Carolina, and then obviously LSU. There's so many places to go. Let me go to South Carolina for a second. That was the final game of the day, and it was fairly typical of this series, but in the end, it seemed like Will Muschamp can't do anything right. He gets his team back in the game, and it all falls apart.
You know, two takeaways there is that, you know, they put themselves in a position to win the game, then you have a special teams mess up, and you can't have that. And, you know, you don't get a chance to win the football game. But I'll say this. What impressed me about that game, Paul, was that a year ago, 2 years ago, Tennessee is absolutely going to lose that football game. On the road, only up by four, they're not going to win. But Tennessee is slowly but surely learning how to win games. And if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm encouraged by that game the other night.
Let's look at I haven't heard a lot of panic out of you yet, Tony. But that's you. I mean, you didn't get to this point in life by overreacting and panicking to everything you hear. But if you are concerned, and I mean seriously concerned about any about a school or two schools that you saw Saturday, who would it be?
Well, I'm concerned about what's going to happen at South Carolina because they got to go to Gainesville this week. And I will say this: if I'm a South Carolina fan, I'm encouraged by what the offense looked like. The play calling under Mike Bobo is so much better than it has been. But that's a team I'm concerned about. I'm also concerned about Texas A&M. Now, give give Vanderbilt credit. Ted Roof has obviously done a very good job with that Vanderbilt defense, but Texas A&M, I thought, would particularly at home, would play a little bit better than they did against Vanderbilt. But we'll see. Got to go to T-Town on Saturday. That will be a very important game for them.
Tony, it is always a pleasure. A&M has Alabama and Florida back-to-back. And then at Mississippi State. I mean, I didn't notice that Mississippi State game until Saturday afternoon. So great to have you on, and I hope you're well, and we will talk to you very, very soon.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
One of my favorites. Tony Barnhart joining us, calming us down a little bit, at least for a couple of minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. And Wayne is in Kentucky. Wayne, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
Hey, let me catch my breath here. This has been an exciting weekend of football. I've really enjoyed it all. The man I feel most sorry for is Kirby, because if he had someone down there that could help him pick out a quarterback, then they would probably have the best team in football. Now, I think the Florida people, I think they're all excited. Well, they got good reason on offense to be, but they haven't played a good defensive team yet, so let's wait and see how that pans out. Paul, I want to ask you a question. How many teams in the SEC could have a play at the 1 yard line and have the football, the man standing in the end zone holding the football, and none of the SEC officials call it a touchdown?
I guess we're talking about Kentucky, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not know how to answer your question.
And then you got all the SEC commentators. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to show it. They don't want to mention it. They just and you know, listen, Auburn's a good football team. There's no doubt about it. And Kentucky had three turnovers in the second half. You can't beat a good team with three turnovers. But wouldn't it have been nice if we had some fair officiating, and we could have actually seen if we could have got the momentum at halftime and carried it over into the second half and stayed in the game for a while, or maybe even won it. You know, to me, that's what I can't understand. You know, we have people that get plays off with no time on the clock, and then we can't get a touchdown call with a man standing in the end zone holding the football. Now,
one more. Appreciate the call. I saw the play, and you know, Auburn had a pick six. I think it was a pick six callback. But anyway, I'm sure the officiating crew in Birmingham was busy this morning. How about Shannon in Georgia? Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Paul. I want to respond to the guy that called earlier about the Georgia quarterback situation, said that we didn't acknowledge it. I'm a Georgia fan, and I'm pretty frustrated that the best we have on the sideline is a walk-on. But, you know, I'm just going to leave that where it's at, and hopefully things will turn around as we move forward. The reason I called, Paul, can you explain to me why down 31-24 with 3:15 to go in the game, Will Muschamp kicked a field goal to make it he was in a one-touchdown game, and he made it a one-touchdown game by kicking the field goal. I'm not sure I quite understand that. It brought him to 31-27. He's still 4 points down. Even if he gets the ball back, he's still got to score a touchdown. So what happened there, you think?
If I answered the question by saying it's Will Muschamp, would that help?
It would. And I'm going to say this. Watching South Carolina have a punt bounce off a player's leg to where Tennessee gets the ball back there with a minute and a half to go in the game, if that's not the most Will Muschamp way to blow a chance back at a game, I don't know what else to say. It's that guy does less with more than anybody I've seen, and I just don't get it.
I ran into a South Carolina fan this morning, and he echoed your comments in a little more harsh tone, but The problem for Muschamp is really what happens next. He goes to Florida, and depending on how that game goes, I know how it's going to go. Just depending on the number at the end, he starts off in a really disastrous spot. That's why I thought that game was so important for him to win.
I did too, and you know I was impressed with the kid from Colorado State.
Yeah, he was good.
He played much better than I thought. But I think, Paul, the real problem for Will Muschamp is something I heard Tony Barnhart just say, is how much more impressive the offense looked under Bobo calling plays than it ever did prior in all the years that Muschamp's been there. The problem for Muschamp is this. There's an able assistant on his staff that's been a head coach, and now he's continued to flounder and fall apart in the most Muschamp-like ways. He's like the Dan Quinn of the SEC. If I could make a pro football analogy there.
Yeah, I don't think, in all honesty, I don't think there's a coach in America today that wants to be compared to Dan Quinn.
Well, the way things looked in Carolina Saturday night, the way that ended up, I'm not even a Carolina fan, and I really don't have much of a vested interest in it other than to say this. I just don't understand how that guy makes those decisions year in and year out at South Carolina.
Well, this is now his ninth year as an SEC head coach. He's clearly well-liked by athletic directors.
Yeah, how did you do his first stint at Florida?
It went so well that the following year he was the defensive coordinator at Auburn.
That's my point exactly.
Okay.
That's my point exactly.
Hey, Shannon, great to hear from you. Chris is up next in Texas. Hello, Chris.
Oh, how you doing today?
Okay, great.
I just wanted to agree with you on the overreaction Monday. To me, LSU just had the perfect storm against them. You look at the off season with COVID and stuff. No team is real in football shape as usual. And the first half, the defense just couldn't get off the field besides one drive. It was three and out every drive. By the end of the first half, I said they were wore out. But you look at the performance, they was down 17-14 at halftime, and the defense had seven of those points. Then in the second half, Brennan actually looked serviceable and decent, but the defense was already wore out, couldn't get going, but they had just enough plays by the athletes to keep them in the game until 4 minutes left in the game. They actually had a chance to win, so...
Yeah, I mean, when you consider, forget last year, okay? Just forget it. But, you know, they had already lost one of their best players. Was he safety or cornerback? I can't remember. In August. And then they lose Stingley. And then they lose Chase on top of that. And there was one more player, I believe. I mean, this team, even with what it started the summer with, was seriously hampered come Saturday, and you're right, they did pull a nice comeback, and they were really down to that one play that went against. I can't remember, was it a turnover or penalty, whatever. It was a fumble, and then they overturned it. But yeah, again, I think LSU has a little bit of time to figure it out, but not much. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. We have a lot to do. More guests coming up here. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We hope you will stick around.